meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon, listeners. This is Loretta Frelick and Mary Fiorito with the privilege of filling in for Father Anthony Bush. And so we want to wish all you moms out there a belated Happy Mother's Day. And I think our show's producer gets like the big shout out because Daniel and his family were talking about the big party they had for their mom. And so as I came in this morning, that's what he was letting me know. And I really think kudos to Dan and what a great gift he gave with all the brothers and sisters gathering around. And as most of our listeners know, I am not a mother, but I do have nieces and nephews. And so I want you to know that my little heart lit up yesterday when I received text messages from them saying Happy Mother's Day. But our show's favorite mother is you, Mary.
I'm here. I'm sorry I'm late.
No need to apologize. You are here, and we are grateful to God. I know that traffic, I'm telling you,
it sunshine was ridiculous. Yeah, it's yes. Listeners, you probably, those of you who are not from the Chicago area, probably don't understand the magnitude that is Chicago traffic. And even though we travel downtown to the show midday, I was going at one point just like 10, 15 miles an hour the whole way here. There was a lane closed, and then there's construction, and it's just, yeah, you know, it's funny. Someone was pointing out to me that in the Chicago area, we don't, if you ask someone, like, how far would this be from your house, you don't mention how many miles it is. You tell them how long it will take you to get there.
Right.
So, for example, I don't say it's 8 miles. I say, oh, it's about an hour.
Yes,
so,
but let's hear Mary about
your
wonderful
I'm done with my traffic.
Mother's Day.
Oh, I had
that
a lovely Mother's Day.
That
thank
was
you.
Your traffic story.
Yes.
And
yeah,
one of these days, the show will get a traffic reporter.
That would be very cool.
Who will let us know as we're traveling.
Right.
In,
what the travel time is between my house or Loretta's house and the studio. So,
yes.
And we shouldn't even be complaining because Daniel, who you were giving an appropriate shout out to, has probably three times the commute that we do.
Yes,
so,
he does.
So, at any rate, Chicagoans, we can talk about traffic all day long. But no, I had a lovely Mother's Day. My husband and I both were lectors at our parish morning mass, the family mass. And
how
so
wonderful.
That was very nice. We were asked to, by special request, we were lectors and celebrated Ascension Thursday on a Sunday, which I don't care for, but it is what it is. And my daughters, my two daughters who are home and live in the area, made a lovely brunch.
Aww.
And my husband had worked all day on Saturday to set up our backyard so that we could eat outdoors. And it was perfect. It was, there
Isn't
was no humidity.
Grand.
There was no humidity. And it's the time of year where there's no bugs yet.
Oh.
But you can see that the cicadas are starting to emerge. So this is going to be a cicada summer. Yes.
Yes.
One of the things my kids do for me every year is they plant my my flowers for me in our planters in front. And then also they plant some herbs and things in the yard for me. And my daughter told me, like, even just digging, the cicadas are starting to come to the surface. So, yeah, so this is one of this 13-year cicada thing.
And well, they say the temperature of the soil has to reach 62 degrees,
and it's at, like, 60 or something. So it'll be soon, yeah.
And you can tell all the neighbors that have a landscaper. Because all their baby trees have the netting.
Is that what that is?
That is to protect them.
To protect. So if you have a younger tree, you have to have like that mesh over it to keep it.
Well, apparently that's what the landscapers are selling this week. My landscaper better not.
Okay. But. Yeah. Because I've seen that quite a bit in Oak Park and River Forest and communities like that. And so, so then we had my mother-in-law came over and joined us, which was very nice.
Had multiple mothers.
Yeah. So we had grandma and mom. And so it was quite nice. And I know you're godmother to many.
Well, yes.
Yeah. So that's, I always get my kids' godmother something for
Aren't
Mother's
you
Day.
Lovely.
No, because that's an important role.
That's a
privilege. Role when someone asks you to be the godparent because you are spiritually responsible should something happen to that person's mother. And so
totally
they've entrusted you with a great, not just a privilege, but a great responsibility. So
One of the things I always think about with a godmother,
you
want somebody that's going to connect with your child in a way that if your child isn't feeling, and not every child does, but if your child doesn't feel comfortable coming to you about something,
right,
they go to that godmother.
Right.
And you have selected someone who is somebody who will teach the faith, morals, and values that are in accord with yours.
Right.
I mean, you don't choose your drinking buddy.
No.
From college days because she chose you 5 years before.
Right.
And so it's... It's really like it's safeguarding your child by who you choose because, you know, they're going to be interacting with your child, too. And you want to have a voice that's comparable to yours, but cool.
Yeah, and well, the church requires that whoever you choose to be the godparents, to be the sponsors of your child for baptism, are practicing Catholics. And many parishes, they don't all do it. They all should, but not all do, require you to get a letter. What's called a letter of good standing.
Oh, I did not know that.
Oh, yeah, my parish does. And my pastor would often say, you know, that people would say, well, I go to St. Vincent Parish. And he would say, oh, okay, well, I'm not familiar with your name. Which mass do you go to? And he said sometimes when people say, well, I go to the 10:30. And he would say, we don't have a 10:30.
No,
he said literally people would lie. And he said, you know, this isn't a judgment on you. If you don't practice, that's your decision. But,
amen.
But the requirement for this job is that you be a practicing Catholic.
Yes.
And so... And I have to say, and the same for confirmation sponsors. And the former pastor at your parish, I remember when one of my daughters was being confirmed there, and he required a letter of good standing for a particular person whose son was a priest and who was very well known. And she just said to me, anyway, there was some mix-up with her getting her letter. And she said, just tell him my son is a priest. And I said that to her. I thought that was very funny. And he said, I really don't care. I need to see her letter of good standing. So, and you know, he just said, if I make an exception for one, then everybody else is on me for, you know, making exceptions for everybody else. So,
agreed.
Yeah. So it's again, it's interesting to talk about this now because we are at the big season of First Communions and so a lot of confirmations this point now that Easter is over. And, of course, baptisms. Sometimes people wait until the weather is nice to have baptisms for some reason. I can't fathom. But did you happen to see like very scary footage of the First Communion over the weekend in Abbeville, Louisiana, where a very deranged anti-Catholic man came in with a weapon and was planning to massacre all the First Communicants and their parents? And the parishioner stopped him.
Praise God.
And called the police. And, you know, it was right at the beginning of the Eucharistic prayer. So everyone's kneeling, right, with their back to the assailant. And again, I'm sure it being in that part of Louisiana, there were a good number of people who probably concealed carry anyway.
Yeah, think?
Yeah, that's my guess because they apprehended him. It was parishioners who apprehended him and then called law enforcement.
God.
But the priest, you can see a lay person goes up onto the altar during the Eucharistic prayer, which is extremely unusual, and whispers something to him. And then he just stops. He said, everyone, please sit. And we're going to pray. And then he just kept saying Hail Marys over and over. And then the police came in you know, just en masse. I mean, and then kids started screaming and crying, and parents were screaming. And I have to say, given I got tears in my eyes. I watched it twice this morning and got tears in my eyes both times. It was terrifying just to watch it.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
Yeah, much, much less. But praise God, no one was hurt.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
The police were there. They must have been there within, I would say, less than 2 minutes. There was a massive police response, and they secured the building and the person's in custody. But, you know, it completely ruined, of course, all those kids' first communion. So they,
you know what? But we have to be people of faith who have to say, no, first communion wasn't ruined. Jesus saved it.
Yeah.
We were on our knees. We were praying the first Eucharistic prayer. Men and women of faith stopped this murderer from turning our event into a massacre. Glory to God.
Yes, well,
That's who we have to become.
Right. And so the kids just made they could choose whatever mass they wanted to come to that following Sunday. And so they didn't go ahead with that. Okay. No, I don't think the police would have, they evacuated everyone.
Okay.
Yeah. So yes, it was, and I think at that point, that was probably the most prudent thing to do. So, but very, you know, you just see, here's this moment of, you know, just, there's just nothing more innocent and beautiful about the faith of a child ready to receive Jesus for the first time.
Yes.
I know you have a role in preparing, or did at least, for preparing first communicants. Yes.
Well, I not anymore, but I did, yes. But what I think is so important is now we not just prepare the kids, we prepare the mothers and the fathers.
Absolutely. No, it's more about, it's as much about the parents as it is about the child now. That's absolutely true.
Yes. But, you know, praise God, everybody's safe. You know, we should pray a prayer for that guy, the man who was captured and will no longer be massacring first communicants.
Yeah.
But we ask Jesus, you know, to hold him and to heal him and to be with him and to change his heart from murder to understanding of who Jesus is in this man's life.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I don't know, Mary, you probably didn't see anything like this, but I was with some friends of mine who I would call citizens of the world. Father Radek is from Poland, and
I don't know Father Radek or this organization. Tell me.
Well, no. Citizens of the world. They travel a lot. They're in tune with a lot of world cultures.
Okay, so it's not an organization.
It is not an organization. But, and then my friend Maria Vadillo, who's from Miami, but travels all over the world as well, Africa, Europe. And the two of them were talking about the Eurovision.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh,
Laura, do we want to go to our first break before we get into that, though?
I think we can. Yeah. I mean, we don't want to give too much air to Eurovision.
No, we don't. But it's very, very disturbing. But I think people should know, too, when something like that, like I wouldn't watch more than 10 seconds of it. I don't want that spirit near me. I don't want – that was terrifying.
Well, what's more than the spirit, what I found particularly disturbing was how they treated the Israeli contestant. So you want to go to our first break? We'll go to our first break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what happened at the Eurovision contest. We're also going to talk about the – Gaza protests, and we'll make it to our next break when we come to talk about the Holy Spirit Novena. So this is Loretta Frelick and Mary Fiorito, and we are on Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
You are listening to
Mary Fiorito
and
Loretta Freilich
on Winds of Change.
The Eucharist is God's greatest way of showing us that he loves us.
Jesus's love is made present through the Eucharist. He didn't want to leave us orphans. He left us himself in the Eucharist.
Our Lord comes to meet us tangibly because we're not just pure spirit. That's what Catholicism is all about. And in the Eucharist, man, the rubber hits the road.
A journey to the heart of divine love.
La Eucaristía nos trae vida, nos trae esperanza, y nos ofrece la vida eterna.
In the Mass, heaven comes down, and we are actually taken up into this reality.
An encounter with the real presence.
That's where I got light. That's where I discovered the joys and beauties of my priesthood.
The Eucharist is the victory of our salvation. It is what freed us and liberated us from sin and death.
If God can transform bread and wine into his own body and blood, there is no limit to the power of his love.
Jesus Thirsts, the miracle of the Eucharist. In theaters June 4th, 5th, and 6th. Visit JesusThirstsFilm.com for theaters and showtimes.
And welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito and Loretta Freilich here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And we are happy to be back with you this week. And we're just talking about lots of things that happened over the weekend. Many, many things going on. But one of them, as Loretta mentioned before the break, is the Eurovision annual music, I guess, contest is what it is.
It's a comic contest.
Is it? Okay, I didn't know that.
Because of all the costumes. I mean, huh. The guy who won was a guy from the UK named Nemo,
right,
who wore white tights and like a flowery jacket that
he claims to be non-binary, right?
Oh, there were a bunch of those.
Oh, very strange.
However, he is the first non-binary winner. But what I found really just so disgusting was the Irish contestant. Her name is Bambi Thug.
Yes.
And she indicated that she practices neo-pagan blood magic and that her costume had all kinds of Wiccan and Satan symbols.
Yeah.
But here's the part I don't even get. These guys are supposed to be artists. I thought artists were out on the edge. This chick demanded, forced Univision to have a separate green room for the Israeli contestant because she did not want to be in the same room with her.
Yeah.
And then apparently Eurovision kept her with security in her hotel room unless she was performing on stage for her own safety.
Well, I tell you, this rise in anti-Semitism is something I never thought we would see again in the world.
No.
I never thought after what we went through with the Holocaust that we would ever see something like this again. And you know, there is a place, I guess, for a discussion about Palestine and about Palestinian Christians and others and how they're being treated, et cetera, et cetera. I suppose rational people. But this is anti-Semitism.
Yes.
In fact, I was listening to the news on the way in, and they were interviewing one of the many campus protesters, and she said there should be protection, police protection, for us pro-Palestinian, anti-Jewish students. She literally said we are anti-Jewish students.
Okay. But do you know, Mary, you talk about there's a conversation, but the conversation that is being, that should be, is there was a ceasefire. There was peace until October 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Palestinians in Gaza elected Hamas leaders,
right,
who then chose not to create electrical grids for for the development of their city, not to create some kind of harbor that could engage in at least international trade, much less their own. But they elected these men that then put stringent guidelines on how women can behave. Hey, where is the Me Too movement?
Right.
And they also, Mary, I mean, what's so just heart-wrenching to me is as they were slaughtering, as they were burning, as they were people to death, as they were placing babies in ovens, cutting them out of women's wombs, yeah. As they were doing all these things, they are sending videos back to their families and laughing about it.
Right, well, and bragging about
yes,
you.
But here's my favorite new part. Apparently at the Ivy League schools, wait for it, they're fasting until
it's very funny because it started as a hunger strike and then they stopped the hunger strike and now they're just fasting. So that's kind of...
And they're fasting. This was round one. After half a day, they brought round one to a close for health reasons.
Yes.
My guess is they passed the Jewish deli and the smells were so delightful.
Right.
And now they're on round two.
Right.
But Mary, what is that all about?
Yes. No, it's
ridiculous.
This is hardly Bobby Sands and the IRA hunger strikers, you know, that people may remember from the 80s because some of them died. Seven of them died, I think, that they were absolutely committed. And that, I think, that was kind of the beginning of the end, right?
Right.
And then we had the peace process and the peace talks. And now, you know, it's so interesting. You haven't heard anything about the IRA in Northern Ireland in two decades, right? Because there have been these peaceful hunger strikes that have worked. But these are not serious people. I think that's what it tells us. These are not serious people. But did you see any of the commencements where, for example, at Columbia, a woman, wearing a trans flag, one of the graduates, a master's degree in social work, tore up her diploma. She took her diploma from the president and then turned around, faced the entire audience and tore it into pieces, you know. And
but
then,
see, when the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, behaves that way by tearing up Trump's State of the Union that he handed her.
Yeah.
Where are these people learning their manners?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
If I were that university, I'd strike her from the rolls.
Yeah.
I wouldn't reissue a diploma. How about all those people? I mean, for crying out loud, if you're going to walk out on somebody, take somebody with a bigger political view than Jerry Seinfeld.
Right,
gosh, he's just a phenomenal comic. And because he's Jewish, you're going to walk out
on
a talent like Jerry Seinfeld?
It was so disrespectful and immature. And, you know, Jerry Seinfeld is hardly, I mean, he's a very well-known American Jew, but he is not the face of the IDF. And I don't understand what point they were making. And I watched his whole talk. A couple of people recommended it to me, his commencement address. And, you know, can you remember who your commencement speaker was?
I cannot.
Oh, I can't. I'm one of the few, but most people can. I would say 90% of people cannot remember who their college commencement speaker
Mary,
was.
Mary, I was so traumatized by the fact that I really was graduating.
Yeah, and now you have to actually have a mature life. Yeah.
And so my dad there behaving like a fawning father.
Oh,
mine
was Seamus Heaney, the Irish the Irish poet laureate. And
had an alumni who was successful.
Was incredibly impressive. I have to say, I do recall that quite vividly. I don't remember my law school one though. So there you go. But a number of people had mentioned it, and I watched it, and it was such a good talk, you know, where he talks about how he lived on Wonder Bread and peanut butter.
Wow.
The first fruit, but he said, I really wanted to be a comedian. And he said, because I was from a Jewish family, I had other family members who would say, you're not telling that joke right. That's not really funny. You know, like, you have to do it this way. And he said, I had passion for what I was doing. I was willing to make sacrifices, and I was really, really willing to work hard. And he said, so that's my message to you. Don't lose your sense of humor and be ready and willing to work really hard and you'll succeed. It doesn't matter what it is. If you have those two combinations.
Did he mention anything about the government check? And be sure to check your mailbox five times a day to make sure it's on its way?
Yeah, no, nothing about, but And he, you know, this was a Duke, so, right, so you have among, it's a very, very competitive school, Duke is, and, you know, so you have among the best, this one of the most competitive admissions school. But he said, you know, also you need to kind of remember what your place in the world is. You're leaving, and there's a whole bunch of students already on deck now to come in and take your place.
Right.
So this is you, you know, you need to make a way for yourself, but you have opportunities that the vast majority of people in this country do not have. Do not squander them.
Right.
Do not squander them. Go out there and work hard. I mean, it was just very, it wasn't, you know, I mean, it wasn't probably a Nobel Prize winning speech, but
no.
It was excellent. And it was funny in parts, and it was very moving in parts. And he said, you know, I'm 70 years old now.
Oh, wow.
I'm done. I'm
yeah.
done. You know, my career's pretty, you know. And he said, but people need to come up and take my place. And so be willing to take risks. You know, be willing if it's something you feel strongly about. And it means, again, you know, he went back to the Wonder Bread and Peanut Butter story a couple of times, but he said sometimes you have to be willing to make those sacrifices, but they pay off and they will be worth it.
Yeah, but see, that's not going to happen anymore because we don't allow comedians to satirize, to make fun of, to comment in the way only a comedian can on the state of the world.
Yeah.
And we've lost that gift.
I think he said he could not make Seinfeld now.
No.
If I recall correctly, he wouldn't be able to make some,
no.
at least many episodes of it. And, you know, I one of the funniest movies, I think, of all time, though it's very vulgar in some spots, is the movie
right.
Airplane.
Oh,
and
right.
I heard the writers for Airplane being interviewed and said, you know, do you think you could make Airplane today? And they said, oh, yeah, we could make it. We just couldn't tell any of the jokes.
Right.
Like, it would just have to be void of any of the—
Any funny.
And it was, you know, and it made, I thought, made fun of certain things and even ethnic things and things along racial lines, but in ways that even people from those particular backgrounds were laughing as hard as anybody else. Because,
yes.
you know, it's because
yes.
all humor has, you know, a grain of truth in it. And it wasn't done in a mean-spirited way. It was, you know, done to make people laugh.
Right.
But we can't do that anymore, you know. But I just to go back to these, you know, these encampments and these protests, this is, you know, I did see one political commentator saying that this really could be Joe Biden's Vietnam. Like,
yes.
this is, he is not handling this well.
He hasn't handled anything
well. That's true, too.
And they did an analysis that Joe Biden, in his entire career, has never been on the right side of a world crisis. So,
no, this is
100% on you, Joe, because
yeah.
you still got this one wrong. I am appalled that Congress would allocate money because you know that was part of the negotiation to get the comedian in the Ukraine his money.
Yeah.
And Biden is now saying, not only will I not give you these weapons if you go into Rafah, but we have intel that we've garnered that we're not going to give you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, whoever gets killed based on the intel you have, Joe, that blood is on your hands.
Oh, yeah. It's
but
very serious.
Here's the ultimate mockery. A playground in Israel was hit with a rocket shot out of Rafah.
Was it really?
Yeah. I'm so glad to hear Benjamin Netanyahu saying, okay, whatever you guys want in the U.S., but
yeah.
we're not doing it.
No, And I just wish so many younger Americans wouldn't just so knee-jerk fall in line without taking time to seriously study or examine beyond their comfort levels in terms of the sources that they look to try to fully understand an issue more, you know, clearly or you know, at least to have accurate information about both sides. And so this is getting escalating incredibly. You know, we're coming up on the Democratic National Convention. I know that there are big Palestinian protest groups planning to be here.
Well, I got a lot of problems with that because they apparently are as welcome as the migrants or the illegals, because in the Daily Center last week, the Palestinian flag was raised.
Hmm.
What is whoever putting that up smoking, Mary?
Yeah.
Let's stop.
Yeah, no,
the
you can't.
Ukraine flag does not belong on the floor of the House or the Senate.
No.
The Palestinian flag does not belong in Daily Plaza next to our national flag and our state flag and our city flag and the tomb that represents those that have been killed. I'm telling you, There's something askew in the world, Mary, and I'm not sure.
But as an antidote to that, you are also seeing these young men and women at campuses showing up, and like at the University of Michigan's graduation when the pro-Hamas protesters tried to disrupt the graduation, parents stood up with these students, started chanting, USA, USA, USA. This all started at the University of North Carolina, where they're calling them the frat bros, I guess.
Yep.
And they were trying to, the students, Palestinian supporting students, were trying to desecrate the American flag. They grabbed it from them, as I understand it, and held it up and started chanting USA. And they were all, you know, taking turns spotting each other so that, you know, they wouldn't get exhausted, but they were being pelted with rocks and eggs and other things, and they didn't put the flag down.
And we talked about this last week.
I know.
And it's
worth repeating. Yeah, $300,000
in
their GoFundMe.
But
now that is the nice thing is that since the last time we talked about it last week, the ripple effect of it to University of Michigan's graduation, to the other graduations where the parents are joining their students saying, you're not disrupting this important day in my kid's life. And this is America. You have your right to say it, but you don't have your right to ruin somebody else's graduation. So
yes.
I like to see that pushback. But, well, why don't we go to our next break? And then when we come back, we have to discuss the Novena to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Because that is going
on,
and we're coming up on Pentecost. So
that's
a very important thing, and some spiritual graces and benefits there. You do not want to miss out on listeners.
No.
This is Mary Fiorito and Loretta Fralick here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. Do not go away.
The Eucharist is God's greatest way of showing us that he loves us.
Jesus' love is made present through the Eucharist. He didn't want to leave us orphans. He left us himself in the Eucharist.
Our Lord comes to meet us tangibly because we're not just pure spirit. That's what Catholicism is all about. And in the Eucharist, man, the rubber hits the road.
A journey to the heart of divine love.
La Eucaristía nos trae vida, nos trae esperanza, y nos ofrece la vida eterna.
In the Mass, heaven comes down, and we are actually taken up into this reality.
An encounter with the real presence.
That's where I got light. That's where I discovered the joys and beauties of my priesthood.
The Eucharist is the victory of our salvation. It is what freed us and liberated us from sin and death.
If God can transform bread and wine into his own body and blood, there is no limit to the power of his love.
Jesus Thirsts, the miracle of the Eucharist. In theaters June 4th, 5th, and 6th. Visit JesusThirstsFilm.com for theaters and showtime. The Winds of Change. St. Stanislaus Kostka. The Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststandschurch.org.
And welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito and Loretta Fralick. We are here on AM 750 WNDZ as we are every Monday, and we're happy to be with you. And one of my favorite flowers in all the world are peonies. I love them.
Yes.
And peonies have a second name. They are called Pentecost roses.
I did not know
that. Yes, Pentecost roses because they bloom. Mine are just ready to go, and I think they're going to come out right on the nose because they almost always bloom on Pentecost Sunday. And so they call them Pentecost roses. That's the other name for peonies. Isn't that beautiful?
That is beautiful.
So there is a floral fun fact for you.
Thank you.
So in addition to watching, that's one of the wonderful things we inherited when we purchased our house. The previous owners had been terrific gardeners and have two gorgeous peony bushes that 26 years later are still blooming. So looking forward to my Pentecost roses, but also to this Novena to the Holy Spirit. So can you tell listeners, this is not a Novena I normally do, so I am as interested as the listeners are in hearing more about it and how it originated.
Okay, well, first of all.
So go.
Okay, done. First of all, I want to tell you that this Holy Spirit 2033, hopefully our listeners are all in tune with what's going to happen 2033. It's going to be 2,000 years since Jesus died on the cross, and we want to give our Savior the rewards of his suffering. We want to bring in that great harvest. And so, to that end, we are preparing for this 2,000th anniversary by creating setting up a novena for 9 years. And when Pentecost Today, the National Catholic Charismatic Renewal, of which I'm a board member, asked me to head up this novena, I can tell you that I was a little daunted, but they told me you don't have to do it for 9 years. So praise God. I don't have to be chair for 9 years, but it is my privilege. And so what we have done is we have taken the next 9 years and divided them up into 3 years each. So the first 3 years we're going to pray for the renewal, the renewal in the charismatic renewal.
So when people hear that renewal, so what in the spiritual context, what does that mean? What does that mean?
Well, the renewal, the Catholic charismatic renewal, is a group of individuals that believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are still functioning today. They have no expiration date. That the gifts of healing, knowledge, discernment, prophecy, tongues, they're all functioning today. Yeah. So, but what the renewal, the charismatic renewal, which is the administrator, for lack of a better word, the umbrella organization to which all these other groups, prayer groups, charismatic communities, individuals, those who have received the grace of the Holy Spirit, where the baptism has been prayed for by laying of hands, and these people are now functioning with the gifts. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for the renewal of the renewal, that the Holy Spirit will ignite the fire of love, power, and the presence of the Holy Spirit in this world. And, you know, just from the things that we have been talking about, Mary, we know the world is on fire. And the only thing that is going to quench this fire is the fire of the Holy Spirit with God's love. So then the second 3 years, we're going to pray for the church, you know, the Catholic Church, unity in all of the non-denominational churches, all of these, and our emphasis here will be on Christian unity. And then in 2030 to 2032 for our world, our neighborhoods, our schools, our workplaces, and we are going to pray that the Lord renew them. Now, the novena to the Holy Spirit is the oldest novena in the church, and it is a prayer that lasts for 9 days that we pray from the Ascension to Pentecost, but it's a prayer you can pick up any time. And I know this prayer works, and I know this prayer is going to set the world on fire.
And so it's the same prayer that you say, just for people who don't have the familiarity with.
We've got this divided up three ways.
Okay.
And I have to tell a few things about a few people before I answer your question. The first is, we have an easy peasy go for it. And it's just, come, Holy Spirit, come.
That's all you have to say.
That's all you have to say. So
I can remember that.
So, yes. And, you know, in that way, we can invite kids to say it. We can invite little ladies that just don't have the energy to pray,
right,
or people in hospice, whatever.
Or you're not super organized or what have you.
Right.
Yeah.
The next prayer, and now I want to, the next way in which you can pray this prayer is Blessed Elena Guerrera, who, news alert, breaking news, on April 13th, Pope Francis indicated that he has received the second miracle and
terrific.
Approved it, and she will be
great.
A saint.
And who was she?
Blessed Elena Guerrera was a sister of the St. Zita school sisters in Lucca, Italy, which interestingly enough is where St.
Gemma's from.
That's right. And St.
But also St. Zita, yeah.
But St. also St. John the 23rd.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so she started a little girl, okay? So all okay. you people out there who are saying, I'm too young. No, you're not. You are never too young or too old to be used by God. And so this little girl started telling Blessed Elena that the Holy Spirit should be invoked more in the church. You should write the Pope. The Pope should pray more to the Holy Spirit. So, and should invite members of the Catholic Church to pray. So Blessed Elena started writing these 13 letters in which she made those observations to the Pope. And eventually it is believed that St. Leo, or Pope Leo the 13th, he wrote the encyclical on the Holy Spirit. He invited the world to pray for more of the Holy Spirit and always the sense of humor that the Lord has. The Lord poured out the Holy Spirit, but the first to respond were the Pentecostals,
oh,
the non-denominational. Yes, not the Catholics. And so you have events such as Azusa Street, where a group of individuals, ecumenical, black and white, they were praying together in the church and believed it is Azusa Street where the fire department was getting so many calls of the building being on fire that the fire department responded to their prayer. And really, it was the people saw the Holy Spirit in the fire, but there was no fire. It was just people praising the Lord.
Oh, wow.
Right. But now we fast forward to 50 years ago when the students at Duquesne University were praying in the chapel at the Ark and the Dove Retreat Center, and it's there that the Holy Spirit came down on them and began the Catholic Charismatic Renewal.
Interesting.
Yes, and these students were from all over the United States, and so they ended up bringing this new Holy Spirit baptism to their places. So our second prayer is a chaplet that Blessed Elena composed.
And interesting.
We call it the Blessed Elena Chaplet. And then the third is the traditional novena. And I'm just going to beg your indulgence, and I'm going to tell you how I know this novena works. As you and I both know, when you want to become a lawyer, you have to take the bar exam.
Right.
And it is very...
I still have PTSD, I think, from the bar exam.
You know,
I took it many years ago.
Yeah, but... me too. But here's what happened for me. This was the rhythm of my life when I graduated and sat and started the bar exam class. And every day I would go to Mass. I would go downtown to the bar exam class. After class, my study partner and I, we would go study in the library. And then at the end of the day, my brother would pick me up and bring me home, and my mother and I would say the novena, all three prayers of novena,
yeah, no.
to the Holy Spirit. And yes, and when we got to day 10, we would just start all over again.
Okay.
So this was
so the, you just kept going perpetually.
Yes.
That's terrific.
This was the rhythm of my life. Until the bar exam 2 months later. So now I get to the bar exam, and I don't know about you, but I don't test well, I don't think. But
okay.
Anyway, so I get to the hotel, and as you know, there's like four law schools here in Chicago. There are people coming from out of state because they want to pass the bar here and practice in Illinois. So it is a crowded placement.
Right.
So I get to the hotel where I'm assigned, and there is a jackhammer in front of the hotel busting up the concrete. But God was so good to me, I am placed in the other room.
Oh, wow.
And there in the other room, my seat is on the aisle, and I am next to a wall hanging of fabric that is absorbing any sound I hear.
Isn't that something?
The person that was supposed to be seated next to me did not appear. So there was nobody sitting right next to me, humming and hawing, chewing his pencil and,
right.
and turning his pages, you know, so that I'm feeling like I'm not moving fast. But the most important is, as you know, my nieces and my niece and my nephew are the most important people in my life.
Yes.
And my birthday is also May 9th. Now, this is important because when the proctor told me to open my book, along with the rest of the students in the room, I opened my book to the first question. And the first question began with James, Joseph, and Elizabeth.
Oh, no kidding.
The names of my two nephews and niece.
Right.
Entered into a contract on May 9th.
Oh, no kidding.
I knew, Mary, I was so blown away by that question. I knew that was Holy Spirit telling me.
Oh, of course.
Relax,
I've got you. Yes.
You're going to pass.
I've got you.
We've got you.
Yeah.
So as we prepare, all of us, as we prepare to give the Lord the rewards of his suffering on the cross, because we know that he took all of our sin, all of our debt, all of our sickness, our suffering, everything. He took it on the cross, and that's where it is. We don't need to carry it. And so all these lost souls, all these students out there, all these Muslims and all the people in Israel that don't embrace Jesus as Lord, those he died for too.
Yeah. And well, no, they're children of God. And
we need to bring them to Jesus, and I know this novena will do it.
Yeah.
So we are offering the novena, and I know it's going to work, and we're just wanting people to get in there and pray it with us. And we want the novena to spread like wildfire.
So where can people access the prayers?
And you can go to PentecostTodayUSA.org/HS2033.
Okay. So for Holy Spirit 2023. So PentecostTodayUSA.org.
Yes.
Slash.
HS2033.
Okay. Yeah, that's easy enough to remember. And it sounds like this is a terrific way. And does the website allow you to sign up for something where you could get like little reminders?
Oh, or, sure. And it
okay,
also,
terrific.
It also, you know, all the novenas, all the prayers. Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Excellent.
Blessed Elena Guerrero's chaplet. Holy Spirit, novena.
Oh, how beautiful.
And there are going to be opportunities where you can follow up with other individuals and ministry leaders with tools and resources, how you can get this out. And we're going to update this and continue it through 2033.
Oh, that's, Loretta, this really sounds just tremendous.
It's so easy. And it's using the technology that God gave us so that we can bring others to Jesus.
Oh, and that's beautiful.
You know, and I really would advise anybody that wants to be involved in the novena in any way, even if you're going to say, come Holy Spirit, come in the beginning of your day, the end of your day. I want everybody to read the Acts of the Apostles.
Hmm.
You know, I tell all my confirmation students, it reads way better than an Indiana Jones adventure movie.
That's a good way to look at it, for
sure. I mean,
sure.
When you think about it, these people are proclaiming that through the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll be healed. Oh, and what's happening? The guy at the Bethesda pools, he's getting up and walking.
Right, right.
You know, Peter and John are in jail. I mean, you read these stories, they're almost hilarious.
Yeah.
Peter and John are in jail, and the community is praying for him that he'll get out of jail and that he'll be safe. And they go, and they're having a prayer meeting in the house. Somebody knocks on the door.
Mm-hmm.
The girl goes and answers the door, and it's Peter.
Yeah.
And she goes back and says, you know, I think Peter's at the front door.
Wow.
You know, so this is the kind of stuff that's happening. God is answering their prayer in a huge way. People are being raised from the dead. People are being healed. People are coming to know Jesus. Why, my gosh, Philip bilocates.
Yeah.
When the Holy Spirit.
Oh, that's right. I had forgotten that.
When the Holy Spirit sends him to the carriage, that the eunuch.
That's right. Okay. Now I remember it. Now. Yep.
Yes.
Yep. No, so it's just miraculous.
There's so many exciting things. And, you know, I just spent a weekend with a bunch of believers. And, you know, people were healed. There were people experienced tremendous healing, ringing in ears, pain from hips.
Wow.
Emotional release. So many ways in which the Lord wants to show his people how much he loves them. I mean, who wouldn't want to be part of that?
Right, right. No, that's so encouraging to hear that. And thank you for sharing all of that, because I think a lot of people don't understand that, you know, when you think of a novena, you think of a novena to Our Lady or to one of the saints. You don't think of doing a novena to the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so this is a very powerful one. And, you know, then Pentecost Sunday is coming up this Sunday.
This Sunday, yes. So. And if you go on the website, you'll be able to at 8:00 Eastern time. So 7:00 Chicago time. And somebody else will figure out California time if we're even reaching.
Yeah, two hours behind us.
2 hours behind us.
Yes.
Okay. Well, what is going to happen is we're going to have a mass, a vigil mass. Father Boniface Hicks is going to be leading that vigil mass and celebrating it for us. And then different people will be giving talks and encouraging people to step, you know, up and why this is so important. And, you know, there's so much wrong in the world. You know, we talk about it every week by things that we're just mystified. Like,
right?
I mean, who saw such hatred of the Jewish people coming?
This caught me totally by surprise. I just thought people would be too, if they had harbored feelings like that towards our Jewish brothers and sisters, they'd be too ashamed.
Right. I agree.
Too ashamed to see us. While we're wrapping up, I do want to close with a very encouraging story I saw on all places on 60 Minutes.
Okay,
and,
well, before we get there, can I just tell our listeners that it will be my privilege, if you're up at 11, because it'll be on at noon or at midnight, if you're up at 11, be sure to tune on, because I will be giving the remarks at midnight. It's really a privilege.
But
that's
wonderful. Yeah.
At 11:00 Chicago. So
okay, terrific.
I hope everybody has an opportunity to engage.
Excellent. And which would be 9 p.m. on California time.
Yes,
so
well,
there you go. So hopefully someone listening from there will be able to catch you as well.
Going back to California and we'll tell everyone.
Right. Just to leave you with a little story of encouragement, there is an all-girls Catholic high school in New Orleans. Did you see this?
I did. Isn't it fabulous?
Which was founded by Venerable Henrietta DeLille, whose cause for canonization is making its way through the Vatican. And she herself identified as a white person, although her great-great-grandmother was a slave from West Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And she founded this school. She founded the Sisters of the Holy Family in New Orleans. And all girls, it's both an elementary school and a high school that her community runs. And two young women who go to this school, young African-American women, as part of their geometry, I guess it was an extra credit geometry exam. I was not good at math, so I'll try to explain this. Managed to come up with a theory to solve the Pythagorean, or to prove the Pythagorean theorem, which is a squared plus b squared equals c squared, which is how to figure out the dimensions of a triangle, using trigonometry. And for 2,000 years, no one has been, 2,000 years, there's only been one person who's come close to explaining the Pythagorean theorem using trigonometry. And in this particular math class, not one girl but two girls managed to do it.
Yes.
And it is outstanding. Their work has now been peer-reviewed. And both of them got full scholarships to college, but oddly enough, neither of them are going to be majoring in math.
I know, isn't that hilarious?
It's an incredible. So if you just go to to YouTube. You can look up the episode that just aired last weekend. Teens surprise the math world with the Pythagorean theorem trigonometry proof. Again, 2,000 years in the making. And these two young African-American women, what a boost for this school. But I loved when the reporter from 60 Minutes interviewed a number of other girls at the school, and they talked about how excellence was an expectation for every student there.
Amen.
And I think that's the gift that all girls Catholic education brings to society. There is a role for single-sex education, not just at the high school level, but also at the college level. I mean, I know you went to St. Mary's, and, you know, a lot of people believe that, you know, these kind of schools are outdated now, but not me. I am a big fan of single-sex education, especially for women. But they also emphasized, like, the dignity and the modesty for these young women.
Yes.
So they have, their hair has to be its natural color. Their skirts have to hit their knees. They have to wear knee socks.
Yes.
You know, they are, you know, trained to go out into the world as refined, self-respecting, dignified young women. And that self-respect carries over into their work, so much so that they don't seem to be particularly surprised that they were able to come up with this theorem, because they'd been so imbued with the notion they were children of God, but also that they could achieve anything they wanted to.
Right. And you know what I found interesting was 60 Minutes years ago had done a study, and they approached a young girl who got a full ride to Harvard. Hmm. And she was from Illinois. And they said, I bet your math teacher was really supportive. And she looked at him and said, no, really not.
Oh, wow.
And she explained how it was her team of girls working together that boosted her, which prompted 60 Minutes to do a special and do a study where they identified that boys and girls learn differently.
Yes, that's true.
And so
I think their brains develop differently.
Yes. And so I think what's happening is in these places, what we're learning is that if you engage an individual in the way in which they learn and respect that and demand excellence, it pushes them on.
Yes. Well, and, you know, sometimes all the person needs is a little encouragement.
Amen.
So we'll leave you with that thought today. Loretta, did you have something?
I have a prayer that's been composed by Cardinal Raniero Conte La Mesa for the novena that I just want to share with you.
Oh, yeah, please do.
You can
that's
get
a beautiful
this on
way
your,
to close us out.
You
that's
can get
beautiful.
This on the website and have your own copy and pray it. But Spirit Paraclete, thou who hast raised up the church, the charismatic renewal, descend again with power on all the charismatic renewal in the world. Grant that the whole current of grace be animated with new momentum. With your holy anointing, enable all of us to proclaim the good news to the poor and to heal afflicted hearts.
Hmm.
Purify what is unclean in the charismatic renewal. Heal what is wounded in it. Warm what is chilled. Straighten what is astray. Bring together the scattered children of God and Christians divided among them. Renew our courage. Fill our loneliness in the world. Create in us intimacy with God. Come, Holy Spirit, from the pierced side of Christ on the cross. Come from the mouth of the risen one. Come and renew the face of the church.
Hmm.
Amen.
That's beautiful. Well, listeners, again, if you want to say that novena to the Holy Spirit, PentecostTodayUSA.com. You can just do a little search and find it there. And we'll be back with you next Monday. And we hope that and pray that you have a beautiful Pentecost celebration on Sunday. Don't miss Mass. Try to make a good confession this week if you can as well, because that will only enhance the gifts that the Spirit will bring to you. And we hope you stay safe and stay well, and we'll be with you next Monday. Have a great week.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? Such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is wrought. It's time to be stirred. The time. Change, read the signs, no time.